It is so exciting to stand up here and see so many college students. Thank you for joining us. Love this time of year, and I hope you feel right at home. You've come in the beginning of a series I'm doing called 30 for 30. My 30 favorite sermons from the last 30 years. Now, the more I look at this, the more I recognize I've got enough sermon material over 30 years to preach till Jesus comes back. Or till you fire me. I'm not going to wait around to see, okay? But I'm excited about the things that we're going to share. In fact, this morning, it's an old sermon with a new title. Here's my title today: Three Billboards That Can Change Everything. Now, you know, when you see a billboard, the billboard has one job, and that's to give you a clear message. If you're driving down I-85 after this and you see a billboard and it's got a paragraph, you'll never read all the material. It's got to have one thing very clear. Now, the best at this, I think you'll agree, is Buc-ee's, right? I mean, everywhere you go, they have over 1,000 billboards across the country. You see this one? 263 miles, like you're going to wait. That'd be all the way to Nashville and back. Now, some of my favorite of theirs, I mean, first of all, who could believe a gas station with over 100 pumps and inside the size of Walmart could make it? And yet they're super successful. Now, a lot of them have to do with their food. I like this one: Risk It for the Brisket. How many of you ever had their brisket? Good stuff. I like this one even better: May the fudge be with you. My favorite, though, are for their restrooms, which are notably very clean. Here's one: You Can Hold It. Now, below it, though, 366 miles. You know what I call that? In my age, that's a miracle, okay? I couldn't know. And then here's one I really like: Potty Like a Rock Star, all right? Now, they're good because they say something memorable. When we come to the scripture, Jesus would be great at billboards. In fact, he could take the whole Bible and sum it up in four words: love God, love people. Today, we're going to look to Jesus and his teaching for what would belong on a billboard for a church. You know, if we want to tell people what our church was like, what would Jesus want us to put on there? Now, just to get us in context, go with me to John chapter 13. Now, this is a very familiar passage, but I want you to understand the context of John chapter 13 is that, the disciples have been fighting. They've been arguing about who's the greatest. There's division all over the country. Jesus has just got on his knees and washed their feet. He even says this: I'm doing this to show you the full extent of my love. So he's showing it to a group of folks who don't understand it. And now he's going to challenge them. Listen closely. Verse 34. A new command I give you: love one another. Nothing new about that. Here we go. Here's what's new: as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Well, what's the new standard? The new standard for you and I is to love like Jesus. What happens? By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, guys, if we could learn to love this way, Jesus believes the world would be changed. Jesus is betting everything in his cause on you and I loving each other to a radical degree. It's crazy. But what's even crazier is that it happened in the first century. Last Sunday, we looked at Acts chapter 2, where there's this church that was loving each other and serving each other, and people were coming to Christ every day because they found that radical love. Now, here's the crazy thing. Because God believes it could happen again today. And so I want to give you what I call three billboards about this Jesus community. Billboard number one: Everyone is welcome. Say that with me. Everyone is welcome. Guys, do you realize how radical that is? There had never been an organization in the history of the world where everyone was welcome. There wasn't a government, there wasn't a country, there wasn't a club, there wasn't a religious organization that said, we take everyone. In fact, that was the number one criticism of our Lord Jesus. When the Pharisees, the uptight religious people, wanted to stop him, they thought all they had to say is, do y'all recognize he's a friend of sinners? And we know he can't be God if he's a friend of sinners. Jesus says, thank you. That's who I am. Even his disciples weren't always comfortable with Jesus. Jesus goes to Samaria. These are people that aren't Jewish. They're sort of half Jewish, half pagan. And Jesus is teaching there, and disciples are saying, come on, Jesus, let's get out of here. You don't need to be talking to people like this. And so Jesus had to teach them that. And I'm afraid today he needs to teach us this. Because I'm telling you guys, everything changed after the resurrection of Jesus and the falling of the Holy Spirit. It all changed. And this community he had dreamed about began to be formed. And not only do we see it in the book of Acts, but history records how radical it was. For instance, there was an emperor of Rome called Julian the Apostate. Well, why was he called the apostate? Because he was so anti-Christian. And yet he wrote this about the Christians. He says, when the poor were overlooked by the Roman priest, the Christians noticed how the poor were overlooked and devoted themselves to benevolence. You understand, in the ancient world, people didn't normally care for poor people. Now that, Christians cared for slaves. Listen to this quotation. This quotation comes from Aristides, who was a historian in that day. Any slaves they may have among them, they persuade to become Christians because of their love toward them. They become brothers without discrimination. Can you imagine how radical that was? What group said, slaves are welcome? In fact, we're gonna change the narrative. We're gonna love them with no discrimination. And even the sick. Guys, you gotta understand, in ancient civilization, you didn't have good health care. You didn't have good medicine. You didn't have good hygiene. In fact, probably the most radical thing to improve our health has been not that long ago when we finally learned that a surgeon and a nurse better wash their hands every time before surgery. Why? Because we were spreading infection. We didn't know why. But in this day, they didn't have that. They didn't have good health care. So if a disease broke out in your city or some kind of plague, you would immediately, history said, you'd leave because your life was on the line. And you wouldn't just leave anyone, you'd leave everyone, even your children, your spouse, your parents, because you want to get out of there. Now, here's a picture I can't get out of my mind, is the people are fleeing these cities to get away from the sickness. The craziest thing happened. The Christians who lived outside the city were walking in. I will say that about a lot of things the next few weeks. As people flee, Christians come. And they came in and they served and they loved and they helped heal the poor. I mean, just everybody. There was a guy named Pliny, okay? He was the governor of modern day Turkey, where we have a lot of our missionaries. The Roman emperor called him Pliny Tiny. Well, not really, I made that one up, okay? But listen to what he wrote about Christians. Many persons of every age, every status, both sexes, are at risk, he says, of joining the church. And then he calls it a contagion. It's like a bad disease. This contagion has spread not only to cities, but to villages and farms. But then he adds, it seems possible that we can check it, catch this, and cure it. What's he saying? You know what? This thing is spread, but I think we can stop it. When Pliny wrote that, there were 50,000 Christians. It was not but a few years and there were millions of Christians. I don't think they stopped it because it was a radical community that obeyed what the scripture says. In this community, there's neither slave nor free, Jew nor Gentile, male or female. We're all one in Christ. Romans chapter 15 says, we accept each other the same way that Jesus accepts us. So our first billboard is everyone's welcome. I hope you feel that today. I don't care what your background, what your issues have been, how bad you've messed up. This is a place of welcoming. Now, here's what you might want to hear then. Number two, nobody is perfect. Say that with me. Nobody is perfect. Isn't that easy to say? Anybody in here can claim perfection? I remember hearing about a preacher preaching about it once, and he said, is there anybody perfect in this audience? And to his surprise, there was this man who stood up in the back. He said, sir, are you telling me you're perfect? He said, no. Well, then why are you standing? He says, I'm standing for my wife's first husband. Okay? Nobody's perfect, all right? In fact, 1 John 1 verse 8 says, listen closely, guys. If anyone claims to be perfect, they are a liar. Oops, don't want to do that. Nobody's perfect. Guys, here's the truth, guys. All of us have issues. Some of them we might call sin issues. Some are other kind of issues. You know, maybe you struggle with pornography or sexual promiscuity. Maybe you struggle with gossip or greed. Or maybe it's just mental health issues, not sin. Maybe you struggle, like I have some in the past, with depression and anxiety. Or maybe you struggle with all kinds of, you know, addictions, maybe to things that don't seem sinful. Now, here's the problem is, we all have issues, but what I'm prone to do is if your issue is different than mine, I may judge you. For instance, I know there are people who are addicted to video games. Anybody, y'all understand that possible? Very possible. Now, I don't understand that at all. But you, on the other hand, you might not understand why sometimes I struggle with depression or anxiety. Now, what I gotta watch is I don't judge you and you don't judge me because nobody's perfect. And what I love about this church is that opportunity for vulnerability. There's a power in being real. If I have a chance to pour into any young preacher, one of the first things I'm gonna say to them is you need to be open about your own struggles because the very opposite happens of what you expect. If you'll be honest, they'll be drawn to you. They're not drawn to someone who stands up here and acts like they got it all together. I'll never forget my sweet mom. When I was a child, I remember her saying, the last place, if I really had a problem, I would tell anybody was church. Man, I am so glad before she passed away, she got to experience a church where you could say it, right? I remember a lady coming to our church once and someone got up here and confessed some pretty deep sins, talked about God delivering them. I called her that afternoon. I said, how did you like it? She said, I hadn't been to church in 20 years. I thought the roof would cave in. And then I heard those people share about their problems. Listen closely. And I said to myself, I might could make it in that church. So, everyone's welcome. Nobody's perfect. Now, here's the most important billboard. Anything is possible. Say that with me. Anything is possible. Guys, that's what happened to these early Christians. Matthew, a crooked tax collector, writes the Gospel of Matthew. John, a hothead, becomes a disciple of love. Simon Peter, who never says anything right, becomes the first preacher. What's happened? Oh, even people who didn't know Jesus knew what had happened. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, they go, these guys, they're not like this on their own. Listen to what they said. We know they have been with Jesus. Jesus can change you. One of my favorite quotations is from Max Lucado. He says this, God loves you just the way you are. Isn't that good news? But here's even better news. And he loves you too much to leave you that way. And here's what I want to tell you about this church. Oh my goodness. We're going to love you just the way you are. We accept people just like Jesus did. But we also, I hope you'll love me enough and I'll love you enough to say, we got to keep growing. Because there's a passage that I want to point to here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to listen to this. About how lives can be changed. First part of the passage is going to make you uncomfortable. Second part is going to give you hope. Listen, verse 9. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters. What's an idolater? Anything you put before God. Nor adulterers. Listen to this. Nor men who have sex with men. Nor thieves. Nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty bleak. We're in trouble. But verse 11 is amazing. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Is that good news? Amen. Guys, everyone's welcome. Nobody's perfect. Anything's possible. Now let's look at those three billboards. The question is, do they belong on our church? Do they belong in your life? Guys, as we talk about building a great community, we've got to admit the odds are stacked against us, okay? I mean, I could go over what we go over so often. People are so busy. Guys, it's hard to form close relationships when you're in a hurry, okay? We're so distracted by social media. Understand that. We think we have friends and they're just likes, okay? We live in a day where most communities are not as close as they used to be. I read something this week I'd never heard. Have you noticed how most all the malls around us are closing? That's not just a Montgomery thing. That's nationwide. I never thought about it. They said, that's challenging community. At least a mall, you had to go, walk around, might visit with somebody, see people, interact. Now, you either just drive up straight to the store in East Chase or you order it on Amazon. So we got the odds stacked against us. But here's the cool thing. Just like Jesus said, if we love this way, the world will know that we're different. Now, look at those billboards. Some of you may even come in here and say, my experience with church would say those don't belong. In fact, you might think church people would say, first, get your life together. We only accept good people. And I think a lot of people actually believe this. You can't change. Even those folks in church act like it, but they're hypocrites. I'm telling you, our calling is for those billboards to be true. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1. Here's what the church is supposed to be. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts by which he fills everything with his presence. Oh, that's so powerful. So real quickly, let me get practical here. Becoming the billboards. How do we make sure these things are true? I'm gonna give you some quick ideas. First of all, be visionary, okay? You gotta see it. Do you believe together we can create a community this awesome? Second of all, be available. Guys, if I could give an internal billboard to the Landmark Church, it would be everyone's needed. For us to do this, we're all gonna have to work. Now, we got some things to overcome. Last Monday night, we had what we call our gridiron kickoff. 800 men were here to kick off the college football season. Reese Davis, host of ESPN Game Day, a great friend, spoke. And I'm telling you, if you were here, you know what I'm saying. The dude preached. I mean, he brought it down. I've been friends with Reese for a long time. So before he left to go back home, we were talking, and I said, Reese, I just got to ask you a question, man. I knew you'd be good. I knew you'd be solid. You always are, but have you ever spoke like that before? I said, I've never heard it. He said, you know what, buddy? When it comes to talking about God and church, I feel very insecure. I feel inadequate, even though he's been dedicated his whole life. I feel unworthy, don't we all? He said, but two nights ago, I was talking to God about it. And God gave me a few messages. First of all, he said, Reese, get over that. Second, be bold. Third, be vulnerable. And if you were here Monday night, you knew he did it. And I'm telling you, there's more in you right now than you think there is. Listen to God. Be available. Number four, be proactive. So many of us wait around for someone else to do it. We're organizing life groups right now. Guys, what we need are some proactive people. Say, you know, the people in my friend group, they're not in a group. The people in this area of the Tri-County community, they need a group. People, start one. Be proactive. Take the initiative. The next point, be encouraging. Guys, if you weren't here last Sunday, please go listen to that lesson. How do you encourage? It's by the way you greet people, the way you look them in the eye, the way you are joyful to see them, and by saying affirming words. Guys, I wish I could talk about this a long time, but we're going to be out of time. But let me tell you this, guys. When these things happen, it's powerful. It's what Jesus says. It's life-changing. I want to prove that to you. I want to ask Jeremy and Alexis Perkovich to come up here and join me on stage. We'll talk to them for a few minutes. Many of you know these guys. A lot of you know that Jeremy is the defensive coordinator at Faulkner. Alexis works in higher ed tech, and they are an amazing couple. And I'm so glad they're here. Let me tell you a little bit more about them as we're getting ready. Jeremy's actually from Washington State. Though he grew up in some religion, it wasn't like the biggest part of his life. Alexis grew up here, and she actually grew up in a local Church of Christ. And so they met, and about 3.5 years ago, it's sort of ironic, I think, that Jeremy was the first one to surrender his life to Jesus, because that was sort of new terms, probably. And then Alexis, thank God, followed. So Jeremy, just real quick, first time you walked in these doors, what did you experience?
First thing I noticed was not even exactly what I was expecting to notice was a genuine, caring family. And that's exactly what we felt the entire time we've been here. You know, I grew up Catholic at a young age, and I was really just doing what I was told. Then for a long time, I was not in the right spot, not going to church. And I think the devil was in my head telling me, don't go to church because it's a mega church. It wants your money. There's ego. There was all these things in my head telling me why I shouldn't go to church. And then Coach Brown recommended Landmark. It was the first place that we looked at, and it was the only place that we looked at because we felt that genuine, caring family. And it just felt like everybody here has made me feel like they want me here because they know Jesus wants me here.
Amen. I'm glad we could overcome those ideas, because so I guarantee a lot of folks walked in here today thinking the same things. Now, you guys rather quickly, after you moved here a few months later, you plugged in and y'all joined actually one of our small groups we call Life Groups. So Alexis, tell us about that. What motivated you guys to be a part of Life Groups, and tell how you were feeling?
Yeah, so Jeremy had said that you invited us to a life group. He's like, let's go. And I'm like, mm-mm, I don't want to do this. And he's like, if people are reaching out, you have to reach back. And so I gained so much more. And I went in with an open mind. I gained some of the best friends, Ansley and Preeti, and now even Jarvis's wife, Kendall. Like, we'll work together. I gained spiritual mothers as well. But it's something that just felt like obedience to me. It felt like, you know, God is always saying, and the Bible's just always saying, surround yourself with people that are like you. And so to me, going to life group is that obedience. And it's something that if you haven't gone to a life group, you have to join one, because it's something that words can't explain how powerful it is.
Amen. Keep on. That's good. All right. Guys, I want you to understand this, guys. God's picture of church is not just what we're doing here. It's also living in community. Now, so Perk, I love that's what you like to be called. What did you experience and how did it change you?
Yeah, so the first experience I felt was I didn't know exactly what life group was. And so when I realized that we're going to be going over what we went over in service and really learning more about it and how to apply it, that was the first benefit that I felt, you know, just because, okay, now I can better myself and better the people around me by applying this word. And then just that community between you, Miss Stephanie, Jeff, Miss Linda, and everybody, just that family, that support, that love, has been life-changing. I always wanted to, I promised God I would follow him and better apply his word. And then I also wanted a community for Alexis as well. She moved down from Baltimore to come follow me and support my dream of coaching football. And when she moved down here, she didn't have anybody. And that's a lonely feeling. And so my initial thought was, okay, a life group can help her out. It did tremendously. And then learning more about the word and feeling that family, that was the real life-changing feeling.
So well, guys, if we can go back to the list screen, and we're going to add one here. Let's add be committed. Okay, that's an old-fashioned, keep on, stop on committed, all right. Be committed. I'm about to be reactionary. Be committed, all right. So in other words, you know, I told First Service, I used to use the word committed all the time, and people got tired of it, so I sort of backed off. I'm sorry about that. It's a great word, because nothing works without commitment, really. Now, I want you, Perk, there was one night where we were having sort of open sharing time in the group, and everybody started telling where they need to grow, and somebody said, I need to read my Bible more, I need to pray, I need to serve, I need to fellowship, I need to worship. It was just all great things. About two-thirds way around the circle, it got to you, and you gave a speech I wish I could give. So would you give that speech?
I wish I could do it the same way, everybody, like Buddy was saying what they needed, more Bible, more worship, more community, more everything that life group is, and I just told everybody, if that's what you need, then this isn't optional, because that's what we do here. We get in the word, we learn how to apply it.
Just one second. It was so jarring. It's like, okay, guys, I've heard what all you've said. You say you want this, then this is not optional, because this is what we do.
I'm being nicer now.
You are being nice. I want you to be mean.
And I told them, I said, life group doesn't feel mandatory. Like I'm going to get in trouble for not going. Like Buddy's going to have me do whistle sprints for not going.
Good idea.
But if this is truly what we need in our lives, this is mandatory. And everybody's saying this is what we need. Our attendance is good, but there's often people who miss, and you're not getting what you say you need. My dad always told me life is about percentages. What you put your time into is what you're going to be great at. Amen. If you want to be great at watching TV on a Sunday night, then you can be great at that. If you want to be great at scrolling TikTok on a Sunday night, you can be great at that. But if you want to be great at bringing God's will to this earth, that's what we're here to do. And stop saying you need it unless you're showing up getting what you need.
Now, let me say this, guys. The reason Jeremy and Alexis could say this, not that they're not busy, they're two of the busiest people I know, is because they live that way. So let's go one more step. Let's go a little bit deeper. I think everything we're talking about today is about being reactionary. Now we can put it up there. And that sounds like a weird word to use in a sermon, but it's a beautiful word here. Because the response we're looking at today is a reaction to what Jesus did for us, okay? Why would I give my life to this thing? Well, he gave his life for me. So I'd like you guys just to talk just for a minute before we're about to take communion together and remember what Jesus did on the cross. How does thinking about what Jesus did on the cross inspire you to give your life to him? Who wants to go first?
Yeah. So him giving his life on the cross is just a deep love. And that's the way I feel like we should live our lives. I know it's the way that I live my life. And I feel like Life Group has held me accountable to live my life with love, to just be reactionary, as you said, to reach out to people when I don't see them. Or, you know, I travel a lot for work, and there are others in the Life Group who I know are going to text me. I got off stage last service and Ansley texted me and said I was going to do a great job, or Preethi will, with me being in school. And it's just the love that Jesus had for us. That's something that I want to do in my life, and love those as he loved me.
Amen. Perk?
Yeah, I was saying earlier that I feel like I often put Jesus on the pedestal that he deserves to be on, and I forget that he's human. That when he was on that cross, he felt immense physical pain. And we know he's the Son of God. We know he is God. And I think sometimes I forget that physical pain he was in, but also the emotional pain that he had. The emotional pain of leaving his loved ones, the emotional pain that he felt at moments his father could have saved him from.
Yeah.
And then I could not even imagine seeing my mom see me go through that pain and that emotional pain that he went through. So if he was willing to go through all of that for us, who he's never even met, who am I not to sacrifice, and who am I not to spend my time learning more about the Bible so that I could bring his will to this earth?
Amen. Thank you for sharing, guys. We all thank these guys. Beautiful job. So if you're new with us today, this might be a little bit different. There are tables all around the worship center, and we go to take the emblems of communion. There's two cups stacked. The bottom bread tops the juice. But it's more than that. It's our time to remember Jesus. But it's also our time for community. Many of us grew up thinking communion's me and God in this bubble. Well, that's really not scriptural. It is me and God, but it's also me and this community. So as you're in line, we've got a big crowd here today, as you're around here, have a conversation. Just meet somebody, if that's it. Tell somebody why you love Jesus. But we're going to spend the next few minutes just thinking about how good he's been to us. Then everything we're talking about up here, oh my goodness, is so easy. I'm just doing it because he did it for me. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. I thank you so much for, God, just your dream of building a community where everyone's welcome, nobody's perfect, and anything's possible. And it's all because you demonstrated that to us. And the apex of that demonstration was on the cross, where you gave it all. So Lord, as we think about that, and as we interact today, let us not just think about what Jesus did for us, but let's think in some small, not legalistic way, but loving way, what we could do for him. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now we talk about our reaction. Do we believe what we just sung? God really loves us. Let's go back to our list for a moment. As you look over that, that might be a little overwhelming, so let's simplify. If you're taking notes, what's your next step? If you could circle one of these, it might start by just believing it can happen. It might start with you actually being committed or being available. If you're taking notes, just circle the one step that you're going to take this week. If you're not taking notes, could you at least in your mind circle that next step? Because our goal is that these three billboards would be true. If someone were to ask you one day, what is the Landmark Church like? And you don't have 30 minutes. Maybe you're just at a red light. What I would want to say is, Landmark Church is striving by the power of the Spirit to be a place where everyone is welcome, nobody's perfect, and anything is possible. Can you imagine what would happen if that were true? Well, we don't have to imagine. It happened here. The church that exhibited that exploded just the way Jesus said. And the good news is we can do it again. But we need you. We need everybody. To build this kind of church, one thing Alexa said in first service was, coming here changed her view of Montgomery. That this was a place she'd been called to serve and to love. It's a great community. We've got the same thing, but we gotta have that reaction. There was a brother I called, ate lunch with him a couple weeks ago, and I had a big job here at Landmark that I needed someone to head up. I knew it was a challenge. I knew he was super busy. But I said, man, let me tell you about this and you pray about it. Took about 2 weeks for him to respond. And this week he responded. And I thought he'd probably turn me down. This is what he said. I am a very busy man. And when you asked me about this, I wanted to say no. But God said to me, if I told you his name, you'd know him. I don't care what you want to do. I need you to do this for the kingdom. And then he reflected on his own life. He said, I sacrifice for a lot of crazy things. Sometimes I even sacrifice for some things that are wrong. But this time, I want to sacrifice what's right. And he heard God say, you just better make time. And guys, that's really what commitment's all about. Acts chapter 2 says, they devoted themselves to these things. One translation translates that, they gave their time. That's what we're asking for. So if you're new with us, this is what we call a time of invitation. If you need this church to pray for you, if today you've never experienced this kind of community, and you're even in this crowded place and you're lonely and we can pray for you, or you need to recommit your life to Jesus because you've put other things above him, and you're gonna help us build this kind of church. Or maybe you've seen that not only is this a radical view of the church, but that view comes from a radical view of God that comes from Jesus. And you're ready to surrender your life to him and be baptized even today and start life all over. Then meet us on the front row as we stand together and sing.